Amen. Good morning, and peace be with you. It's lovely to have Diane back with us. And Diane, that sounded like Scottish bagpipes to me. That's really was very cool. Thank you for that. We have announcements this morning that Lee is going to handle, but before he comes up here, and it's not in the bulletin, but I would like for you to welcome a new member that we have. Carol Burke has decided to join, so say hello to Carol. And she is delightful, and I'm sure you've had an opportunity to sit, if you haven't, to visit with her after in fellowship. We got some big stuff going on today for fellowship, some big celebrations. So, Carol, you're one of them. And so that's great. Welcome and thank you for joining us as a church family. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So without further ado, I'm going to call Lee up because he's going to fill us in on all of the news that's fit to tell. And especially highlighting a couple of birthdays that we have to celebrate. Thanks, Lee.
Good morning to all, and thanks for coming.
Good morning.
A few of the things I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because everybody's seen it. Almost everybody's seen it several times before. But anyway, the things to highlight, I guess, or the mission is, you know, or you might not know, the first meeting in September is Horizon Pregnancy Clinic again over in I guess that's still Huntington Beach over there off of Springdale. They take care of people who need help with pregnancy, with after they've had babies. They have toys and stuff and diapers, whatever you need. I mean, it's a service. It's really a good one. We've known them for quite a while. 11 years now, I guess, from the great-grandson needing help over there. Council meeting is this next Saturday. Everyone's invited, like we always say. We hardly ever get anybody who comes, almost hardly, but every now and then we do have somebody. Thank you. It's a Saturday. It's 9:30 in the morning, and we usually have some donuts there for those, if that's a little bit of an incentive, or at least you don't have to worry about eating too much before coming down there. Our fall piano concert is still on the schedule for November 15th. We're going to have both Hannah Murray and Nick Galianidis will be playing the piano and the violin. If anybody came and saw them last time, they do well together. They're both very good. So keep that in mind. I know it's still 2 months away, but if your calendar's like ours, just think you got a clear week and all of a sudden it's full, so make sure it's down there. Birthdays, there's no anniversaries on the list for this month. We do have a bunch of birthdays, a bunch of people from early winter, I guess. Anyway, Daryl had a birthday Friday. Happy birthday. It's Friday? Yeah. Tomorrow, the twins, Rosalie Lyons and Sharon Lieberg, will both be 92 tomorrow. They were born within hours of each other on the same day in the same year. They are truly twins, although their mother would have had a bit of a time, I guess, because there were several hours in between. But anyway, we will be having our fellowship out there. Susan's been helping, and there will be a birthday cake to celebrate the big day for the two young ladies. I know it's tomorrow, but we weren't going to try and invite everybody back. Also this month, Avery is having a birthday. Avery Yabuki. Carol Howe, is it Howe? Can you pronounce that? Huck? Okay. And that's on the 11th, which is this coming week. Iris is going to have a birthday on the 16th. She's just a kid, though. You know, she's way behind me and everything. So Joan Fry, September also, in about 10 days from now. Henry, where is he? Oh, he's out there. He is in the back. Hey, Henry, happy birthday almost on the 20th. Matt Yabuki is going to be 30 years old, finally, on the 27th of this month. And the baby Ellie Mae Whitney, September 28th, birthday number one. So Here we go. And Tracy, day later, you know that means that you guys are going to be sharing birthday parties for the, you know, a long time. They say, well, why don't we just do both your birthdays together? But my mother's birthday was right near Mother's Day all the time. They were always saying, let's just celebrate your birthday and Mother's Day at the same time. She says, I always felt cheated by that. Everybody else had a Mother's Day and a birthday. I have a combination. So, anyway, happy birthday to all those. I think probably we ought to do a nice rendition of Happy Birthday for Sharon and Rosalie. So anyway, if you're ready, let's give it a try. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rosalie and Sharon. Happy birthday to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Our opening hymn is hymn number 501, He Leadeth Me.
Thank you.
Will you please stand if you're able? We come together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are by the inspiration of your perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. And as your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. be with you. Let us pray. O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first lesson today is taken from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. This can be found on page 320 of the Pew Bible. Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years, and in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll read Psalm 1 responsively, and this is found on page 6 of the bulletin. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers.
But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day.
That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. The next reading is taken from the book of Philemon, verses 1 through 21. This can be found on page 1860 in the Pew Bible. Philemon 1 through 21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your relationship with us in the faith may be effective in this dispensing your understanding of everything good we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because your brother have refreshed the hearts and the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as no other in faith, Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner for Jesus Christ, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done anything to you wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back to you, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in this, Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke from the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 35, and can be found on page 1621 in the Pew Bible. Luke records, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me, and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it, they will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? And if he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. in the name of Jesus. Well, this is a particularly difficult piece of gospel to preach on, so buckle up. Here we go. You know, from time to time, we do hear about the price that people from other cultures pay when the Holy Spirit converts them to Christianity. A father will declare, "My son is dead to me and his mother." In other words, as far as this man is concerned, his son no longer exists because he has become a Christian. And over the years, and not all that long ago, we've heard about honor killings among followers of Islam. And that's when a father will actually execute, murder his own daughter merely because she has abandoned the Islamic lifestyle. Now, in this morning's gospel, we heard Jesus say this. You heard it. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Is he also teaching a sort of radically strict approach to his teachings and to our faith? You should ask and you should think, well, what about the second? The great commandment, which says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." You should ask, how are we to make the transition from loving our neighbor to hating our family? You should ask, how do we reconcile what we heard Jesus say today with the message of love for neighbor that Jesus proclaimed many other times? How can we do this? What is he saying? Well, before anyone further questions Jesus' apparent radical contradictions, let's remember one of the most important tools for understanding. Whenever we communicate in any way, context is important. In order to understand the truth of Jesus' words, we must hear them in context. So as I said before, buckle up. Keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, because we're going to reason this together. The context of the preceding chapters of Luke, which we have been going through in this lectionary series, year C, the context informed us that Jesus is en route to Jerusalem. And the reason he is en route to Jerusalem is in order to offer himself up as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now first, we remember Jesus said to his disciples this, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." That's Luke chapter 9. Then a short time later, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Luke has told us that Jesus did not hurry. He did not hurry toward Jerusalem. Instead, we read that he went on his way through towns and through villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And finally, you remember as we began the gospel this morning, we heard, "Now great crowds accompanied him." Well, that is the context. Jesus was drawing people to travel to Jerusalem with him. He was drawing them not just to celebrate the Passover, but also to witness as Jesus offered himself up as the Passover Lamb, the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Now, in this context, that Jesus not only said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own mother and father and wife and children," you remember that part. Well, in this context, well, he also said, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What is he saying? Well, as we review together the context of Jesus' words, we begin to understand this. We begin to understand that Jesus is warning about the earthly consequences of becoming one of his disciples. He is warning about the hatred that the devil, the world, and even our own sinful nature has against Jesus. And Jesus warns. He warns us, he warns you, he warns me, that Christians will face incredible pressure to abandon their faith in him. The devil, the world, our own sinful flesh will muster all their forces to drive us away from faith in Jesus Christ. Society as a whole, members of our own households, even our own thoughts will betray us. Society may threaten physical or legal and financial violence against believers. Our families, well, they may threaten emotional violence. Our own thoughts may deceive us. Therefore, we must be ready to leave them all behind. Jesus taught, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, with these words, Jesus taught this. He taught that the Christian has enemies. You know that, right? Christians have enemies. And those enemies will attack. And those enemies, they will cause many hardships for the Christian. The faithful disciple will suffer in this world for the sake of Christ. Our culture has gotten used to the false idea that any hardship in life may be called a cross. I've done it. You have too. Sometimes a sickness, an accident, an unfortunate financial setback, the consequences of getting caught in sin. We sometimes refer to all of these and more as crosses to bear. But when Jesus speaks of the cross, he speaks only of the cross that the Christian bears because he is a Christian. He speaks specifically of the hardships that a person bears because he confesses Christ to the world, because the world hates Christ. There's been a steady stream of blood from Christians down through the centuries. The writer to the Hebrews states that many suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. he further notes, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats. They were destitute, afflicted, mistreated, wandering about in the deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. That's Hebrews 11, verses 36 through 38. Now that is to say this. The truth is, you may lose all your earthly belongings and even your life for the sake of Christ by proclaiming to be a follower of Christ. Now, the world has produced many false teachers. We know that. False teachers who insist that the wealth of this world will pour out on those whose faith is strong, on those who think positive thoughts. These false teachers claim to be Christians, but they teach you to have faith in your own faith, to believe in your own positive thoughts, to take control of your own salvation by your own outlook on life. And they cleverly claim to teach faith in Christ, but they actually teach faith in oneself. And in many cases, they have conned themselves into believing their own false teaching. After all, aren't some of them awash in the wealth of this world? And it is to these false prophets that the Lord will one day say this, "Fool, you fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Luke chapter 12. So what is Jesus telling us in today's gospel? Well, he's saying that the world hates the children of God. He is saying that the world will use all its resources against us, even our own families, even our own desire to survive. Jesus is telling us that his disciples must be ready to cut off ties to father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters rather than to be unfaithful towards him. He is telling us that we must be ready to lose our lives rather than be unfaithful to him. Now let me ask you, can you do that? Neither can I. I simply don't have the resources to conform to Jesus' teaching in today's gospel. In fact, the parables that Jesus tells after these statements tells us that we don't have the resources to carry them out. Our attempt to surrender all in order to be faithful is like a man. It's like a man that starts a tower that he can't finish, or a king with 10,000 men who is facing a king with 20,000. The world will overwhelm us if we try to carry our cross on our own power. We do not have the power in ourselves to deny our family and follow Christ. We can't do it alone. And fortunately, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit inspired the writer of the book of Hebrews to say this as well. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. That's comforting. Jesus is our high priest who experienced the same attacks that we do, and he triumphed over them. Did the world use Jesus' family to attack him? Yep. You'll recall the words that the Holy Spirit inspired Mark to write. This is Mark 3:34. Then Jesus went home, and the crowd gathered again, and so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And later Mark records in chapter 3, verse 20, later on Jesus said, "Here are my mother, here are my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and my mother." Jesus himself had to deny his own family in order to remain faithful. If they had taken him out of there and he had gone with them, he would have been in opposition of his in obedience to God. That was not his mission. Jesus Christ was also faithful to the cross. His cross was not just a metaphor. It was the real thing. His death was not just persecution for being faithful. His death was a sacrifice, wasn't it? His death was a sacrifice that made us part of God's family. You see, when Jesus endured the cross, he was making sure that there was one cross that you and I, one cross that you and I would never ever have to bear. And that's the cross that we earned with our own sin. Jesus Christ endured the cross of our sins so that we don't have to. He took all our sins onto himself, and he paid the debt for all of those sins. And it is by his faithful suffering and his death on the cross that he triumphed over sin, death, and the power of the devil. And it is in his triumph that he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. And Jesus offers his triumph to all people. He offers it to all people through the Holy Spirit's gift of faith. And by faith, we receive adoption into God's family. And he promises us that we shall always be together. And it was before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said this, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He also said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And his triumph means that he is always by our side. And he will always be with us while we live here on this earth. And when our time here is over, we shall live with him forever. You know, evil has absolutely no conscience. It will attack us with all its resources. It will attack us through family and friends, even through our own body. And in spite of this, we need not fear, for the Holy Spirit works and sustains faith in us. And it works through us to give us the strength to remain faithful. He gives us the strength to remain faithful in spite of the world's persecution. Even if it means we lose family and friends, even if it means death because of our faith. It's the Holy Spirit, God in you, that empowers you. Lastly, do you remember or have you ever reviewed the promises that you made at confirmation? The church asked you to make promises that you could not and cannot keep. Who went through a Lutheran confirmation here? Okay. So, for those of you that did not, some of you that did will, yeah, remember that. Here's what you heard. You heard this question: do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? You guys remember that? That's kind of scary. I do. I do now. A simple "I do" at that time, well, it will not be enough of a response, because no ordinary human being can live up to that answer. Instead, we answer thus: I do by the grace of God. For it is only by the grace of God that we can be faithful to God, even if the world threatens death or our family and our friends ridicule us. It is by the grace of God the Holy Spirit will keep our faith strong. It is by the grace of God and His promise that God will be with us in time, and we will be with Him for eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you.
please stand if you're able? Let us now confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed together on page 3. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people in accordance to their needs. You have granted us great privilege and mercy, O Lord, that we should be called your people. Work in us by your Spirit that we may love what is good and obey your command cheerfully. Keep us from an easy faith that costs us nothing, and preserve us so that we may be the salt of the earth and light in the darkness of a world that does not know you. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bless this congregation and all the congregations of the LCMC and all servants of the church, that they would be strengthened to cherish each other of Christ's body as dearly beloved brothers and sisters. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you are our life and length of days, and you set before us your gift of life in your holy word for us and for our children. Preserve your institutions of marriage and family. Guard husbands and wives, parents and children, both from despising and from idolizing one another. Instead, let every relationship in the home exemplify your unconditional love for us in Christ. And grant that all might follow him in their service to one another. Lord, in your mercy, give your aid, O Lord, to all elected and appointed public officials, especially our President and the Congress of these United States, our Governor, the legislature of this state, and all who serve us in your name in government. Grant peace to the nations, and prosper to the benefit of all people, the cause of justice. Lord, in your mercy. God, our King, you promise blessing to those who follow in your way, yet you also call them to carry their crosses. Grant your peace to those who suffer among us, especially those on our hearts and the many that we name out loud right now. Guide them by your word to follow your way through the pains of this world to the glories of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy, gracious God, grant that all who come to the Lord's Supper this day may in faith receive your Son's body and blood, and with it forgiveness of sins, the desire to amend our sinful lives, and the strength to confess true faith in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, in your mercy, join these, our prayers and praises, with those of your faithful servants of every time and place, and unite them in the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest, until he comes again in power and glory as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should, at all times and in all places, offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, he opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name. And we join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For we know that as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us now pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we talked about taking a lesser seat and waiting for the host to say, "Friend, come," to a higher spot. And that's what Jesus did on the cross, so that he could come to you and all who believe and say, "Friend, come to a higher spot." And today, Jesus paid the price for us. He made demands that we can't really comprehend, let alone actually do on our own power. Isn't that kind of the way of the Christian? We can't save ourselves. We can't forgive ourselves. There's not much that we can do for ourselves. And the good news of the gospel is that he did it for us. This Holy Communion is a mandate by Jesus. He said, take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me. We take him at his word. And so today is a foretaste of the feast of the Lamb that come, the one that you are invited in to, the one where he says, come, friend, take a place of honor. Come, friend, be free. And he also saying to us right now, and your pastor saying this is scriptural, that this is a means of grace. Grace is imparted upon you. What is grace? Well, grace that requires our participation is not grace at all. This is a gift to you that you receive quite literally like this with your hand out. That you have go past your lips and into you. It is a gift that you taste. It is a gift. All you do is receive. And what do you receive? You receive grace, mercy, rescuing from sin, death, and the devil, eternal life, salvation through this. If this is your confession, then come. The table is prepared, and the usher will bring you forward. And now the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 327, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.